because Ginger's children's story dovetailed perfectly with my sermon title, and we had not talked to one another. So if you would bow your heads one more time, I need to pray for myself and for you. Oh, Father in heaven, we ask you this morning that you will be with me, that you will give me the words to speak, that it be your will be done here, and that you're lifted up. And we ask that you would be each one here, that they will hear the words that you want them to hear. For your glory, we ask in thy name. Amen. Well, the title of my sermon is First Things First. And that was a saying of somebody that I used to work with. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story. I was a student attending Humboldt State. I was in my last year before graduation there. And a company out of the Bay Area sent a letter up recruiting. They were a company that sold hydraulic parts and components, a bigger company. And so I went down and interviewed with them, and I was hired, and we moved there. Every day I went to work in Emeryville, which was kind of an experience after living here. I was hired in shipping and receiving to start with. I think they knew that sales would not be my first love. And it's something that I have grown into later in life. And then I was promoted into their repair facility. And right next to me, there worked a man who had been factory trained. He had worked at the factory for one of the brands of pumps that we sold. He was an older black man. His name was Clarence Peaks. And he mentored me. And being a young man, I could get impatient or in a hurry some of the time. And he would always say to me, "First things first." And that stuck with me. And I think Clarence did that a lot in his own life. I mean, he was very orderly, very neat and clean. I went to his house one time at lunchtime. He lived a short walk from where we worked. And very, very tidy. And I think Clarence practiced that in his own life. First things first. The text that I had read for scripture reading and some of the idea for this sermon came from a dorm worship that I was in at Milo Academy. And this was clear back in 1977. I was a freshman. In fact, I believe it was maybe the first or second worship that we had. And if you can imagine being in a chapel room in a dorm with probably 100-plus restless teenage boys joking around, pushing and shoving, and they got us all quiet. And then our task force worker, he was a young man who was probably 2 or 3 years older than us and had come back to work at the school, had the worship. And this was his text: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I don't know why. I don't remember very many other worships, but that one stuck with me. And sad to say, sometimes I have trouble putting first things first. It's a struggle, and I think that the devil likes to work on us on that point. That we keep things in the proper order, in the proper priority. As I was studying this morning, I realized something. What is the very first commandment in Exodus 20? Exactly. God wants to be first. He's asking us to place Him first priority. He doesn't want to play second place to anybody else or any other God. God wants to be first in our lives. He wants to be number one. someone who came to mind. In fact, I would like to read the surrounding verses of Matthew 6:33. Let's just do that for a moment. It's a very beautiful passage of Scripture, and there's a lot of promises contained around that verse, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor what for your body, what ye shall put on, not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet a heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? And I'm reminded of that when I woke up in the morning and I hear the birds singing in the spring and the fall, and spring and the summer, I really enjoy that. Here's another one that's just so fitting. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And that's really saying something, because Solomon was fabulously, fabulously rich. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then we come to our scripture reading. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So God has promised that he will take care of all of our needs if we will just put him first. And he also gives a lot of wants too. It's just hard for us to remember that, to put things in proper order. I'd like to talk next about King Solomon. I came upon him in my study this morning. King Solomon started out with things in the proper order, and he wanted to serve God most of all, and he was humble. And many of you will know the famous prayers that is in 1 Kings 3:5. Solomon had gone up to Gibeon to worship God, and God appeared to him in a dream. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Solomon did not ask for wealth or the lives of his enemies or honor or gain. He asked for wisdom, that he would know how to govern God's people. And he did not ask for things for himself, and he was very humble. He was seeking to do God's will. And God was pleased by his speech. It says that he blessed him greatly. It says that he made him more wise than anyone before him or anyone that would ever come after him. And then you just think about that as just mind-blowing. And he also made him more rich than any of the kings that existed on the earth. So he was a very, very wealthy man. But we know that later in his life that Solomon did not put God first, and he had disastrous results because of this. And much trouble in his life that came out of that. So I think it's a lesson to us that we can look at what happened to him. So I apologize, this is probably going to be more of a sermonette than a sermon. So I would like us to take away these two texts. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and remember them. And then something that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm going to go ahead and turn there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Certainly very true. First things first. I will always remember that, we should put things in their proper order and keep first things first.
To put the words to our closing song up on the overhead there, but it didn't happen. So this is a song that a lot of us know at least a little bit of. So
it's Amazing Grace, 108 in the Brown's hymnal.
Actually, if you open and the hymnal, we're gonna, you won't have the right words.
Some of the words are in a 108.
Actually, I'd rather they just tried to follow us.
Okay, he's going to sing it for us.
Because if I tried to look at the hymnal, I would get so
overwhelmed. My chains are gone. It's not in the hymnal. It's not in the hymnal. Part of it's in the hymnal.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been saved. Good to me, his word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. Set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns unending. amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbears to shine, but God who calls me here below will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and by the blood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace, unending amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace.
Yes, amen. Truly amazing grace. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would be with us and go with us now. May we remember and be reminded to always put first things first. And we thank you for your love and your care on us, and just be with us through this coming week. We ask in thy name. Amen.